This is the Six Man Show, an Orlando Magic podcast, with your hosts, Luke Sylvia and Jonathan Osborne, covering all things Magic basketball. By fans, for fans. Go Magic. What's going on, Orlando Magic fans? You guys are back with the Six Man Show. It is March 25th, 2021, a day that will forever go down in Orlando Magic history. Luke, how are we doing?
I was just kind of telling you before we recorded, I just feel like my emotions are everywhere, man. You know, like you start the day so low with, obviously I'm talking about Nikola Vucevic and Aminu being traded to Chicago for Wendell Carter Jr., Otto Porter, and then a first round, two first round draft picks. So, you know, you start the day there, right? I'm on my way to the chiropractor appointment and pulling in. Look at my phone, it dings. I see Twitter, it says Woj. Nikola Vucevic is being dealt to the Chicago Bulls. I call you, you didn't answer, rude. And then I called a buddy and just kind of vented it out. You know, he's not a Magic fan, but we were, he understood my pain, you know, dealing away a superstar in our eyes, definitely an all-star. And yeah, so just really caught us all by surprise. I don't know what it would have been worse, by the way, if like he got dealt the beginning of the day or he got dealt the end of the day when we thought we were only like trying to dodge a Terrence Ross trade and then Vucevic gets traded like 3 p.m.
Yeah, I don't even know if we would have been trying to dodge the T Ross. Just, I think it was once Vuce was dealt, it was like, okay, this is real.
And nobody's safe.
Nobody's safe. Like we knew that J.I., Markel, Cole, Chuma were probably safe, but like you weren't real sure. But yeah, man, I went to bed last night. You know, obviously there was a lot of emotion last night. The Magic beat the Suns.
Yeah.
You know, Evan with the go ahead with 6 seconds left. Mm-hmm. And from then it's just like, man, it's the end of an era, but like at least we got a W. At least Evan got one more moment. But as I got in bed last night, I lay down. I just felt this weight of sadness, and I've been talking about this for a couple of weeks on Twitter, mm-hmm. that when the time eventually came to move on from some of these vets, because essentially you're telling those guys you're not good enough, you're not getting us where we need you to get us,
yeah,
and you're moving on, and it was just inevitable that today Evan was going to get dealt and Aaron was going to get dealt, and I had fully accepted that. You know, I mean, I was still sad about it, but we just knew it was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You saw Evan after the game. If you guys haven't watched Evan's post-game comments last night, like definitely go and watch that. Evan did not want to be traded. I don't care what anybody says. Evan, you could tell Evan wanted to be here. His comments on Aaron Gordon's trade request and then his comments after the game last night, you could just tell he didn't want to be moved. And then, I mean, what was it, like 10:30, 11 o'clock? We're gearing up for like the news to really start coming in. And the first thing that comes across is like, Nikola Vucevic, Al Farouq Aminu, traded to Chicago from Woj. He didn't even have the decency to put "and" at first. It was just like Nikola Vucevic, Al Farouq Aminu was one word. And yeah. I was like, there's no way it's Nikola Vucevic. There's like, that's gotta be a mistake. There's just no way. And then, you know, Shams posted it and then all of a sudden it was real. And obviously you're waiting for what the return is. But honestly, at first I didn't even care what the return was.
Mm-mm.
I was just like, what are we doing? Like 9 years with this guy. He's finally the player that we're like, okay, this is our guy. He's our best player by far. Trade the other guys, but you can still build around Vooch. And then all of a sudden he's gone. So, yeah. So far we've gotten responses from Evan. You know, he posted a wonderful video to Twitter. Aaron had a really nice Instagram post, you know, thanking Orlando and thanking the city. We haven't heard a peep out of Vooch yet. And me personally, I feel like it's just because like he's got to be crushed. This is for me, I feel like this has got to come out of nowhere. And I don't know, maybe even a little bit betrayed.
Yeah, maybe. Who knows? There's already some theories out there. I love theories. I love Magic Twitter because y'all are wild. But the theory that I heard was when Vucevic heard about AG's trade request, and it was inevitable that he was going to get traded. And then Evans getting traded, which was his Euro bro, that Vooch silently went to the front office and was like, hey, if these guys are getting dealt, you can go ahead and just deal me too. I have no idea. I don't know. I don't think that was the case.
We don't have anybody that's reported that. That's just,
oh no, exactly. Like I said, it's purely speculation. That's all it is.
It's fan fiction.
Right, exactly. It's theories are fun, and honestly, don't know if I would blame Vooch for wanting to go to a team that he, you know, he's going to be paired with another all-star for what, the first time in his career. So, good for him. I know that he'll succeed. I know he'll be loved. It's a big market there in Chicago. They're going to love him immediately. They already do. You've seen it. Everybody is just incredibly happy about it. Kenny Beecham is a YouTuber with, you know, a pretty big following on YouTube, and he's, you know, tweeted out a video pretty immediately and was just like celebrating, and that kind of hurt. That hurt, right? Because it's like, no, that's our guy.
He's mine. You can't have him.
He's mine. But you know, I was talking to Oscar from the Magic Report earlier today, and he was just saying, man, I'm just happy that we got Vooch in a Magic jersey and as an all-star one more time. And it was like, man, that's fitting, right? Like his final season in a trade that nobody suspects, we get to see him in a Magic jersey representing Orlando in the all-star game. So really fitting, really sad actually. and really is pretty crushing that it happened today. Magic Twitter was up in flames after that. And then the rest of the day was just a lot of processing, a lot of dissecting the other trades that happened, because we knew they were coming. You knew once Vooch left, like you said, everybody's going to follow. Nobody was safe. Terrence Ross, we thought he might be gone. T. Ross had no idea. He didn't know. I mean, he's over there, you know, tweeting memes and stuff, but I know deep down he was thinking like, am I next?
Absolutely. I had to feel like that. So if you guys are just joining us, again, we're on Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. We'll be going through the chat here periodically. In a little bit, we're going to have some special guests. Philip Rossman Reich of Locked On Magic and OrlandoMagicDaily.com is set to join us. He's kind of held up right now waiting for Weltman's press conference. So we're hoping to get him, but we might not. And then Adam Papa Giorgio is going to be joining us as well. And if we're able to, we might have another guest or so on. So let's break down. Let's start with the Vooch trade. We'll go through that. Then we can talk about Evan. We can talk about Aaron. Excuse me. So again, it's Nikola Vucevic. Can't believe I'm saying that. Al-Farouq Aminu for Wendell Carter Jr., Otto Porter Jr., and then a 2021 first round pick, which is top four protected, and then a 2023 first round pick. I'm looking at SpotTrack right now. I don't have any type of information in front of us as far as, like, it's almost impossible that the Bulls are going to end up with the top four pick. But if that pick doesn't convey this year, I don't really know what happens to it. But a lot of people are upset that the pick is protected, because my opinion, you have so much leverage trading the all-star that you let the other team's front office bully you into making that pick protected. And it's really inconsequential. Like, there's no way the Bulls are going to end up with a top four pick, but it's just the principle. You know what I mean? So I think that's what a lot of people were really upset for. Keith Smith tweeted out that he had texted a Magic player. A lot of people believe it to be Terrence Ross. Mm-hmm. That's not confirmed, but basically a Magic player texted Keith Smith and said, if you don't win enough, this is what happens. And unfortunately, that's exactly what happened. Now, it's just, honestly, it's a kick in the balls, Luke, because this whole season went to crap when Markelle Fultz tore his ACL.
Yeah.
Evan dealing with back spasms, Aaron Gordon dealing with a rolled ankle, Cole Anthony dealing with a rib issue. Now Terrence has been dealing with a knee issue. Like, if this team is healthy, I still think Aaron and Evan are dealt. Maybe not Aaron, definitely Evan. But Vooch doesn't get traded this year if this season doesn't go this way. It's just speaking purely to my emotions, which is really why I wanted to come on here. I'm just sad, man. Like, I'm sad. I'm disappointed. I'm confused. I'm frustrated because this happens every time. And if you look at Magic history, this is not hyperbole. I'm not exaggerating. If you look at Orlando Magic history, every time we get a good guy. They either get hurt or they get traded. You look at Vooch. You look at Vooch, but you look at Shaq. You look at Penny. You look at Grant. You look at Tracy McGrady. You look at Victor Oladipo. You look at guys like Tobias Harris. Like, this is just the theme in this organization over and over again. Guys get good, they get hurt, or they get traded. And this was just so out of nowhere for me. Adam Papagiorgiou, who again we'll have on in a little bit, he put out a tweet that really just like encapsulated the feeling. Like, he gave everything to this city for 9 years, was one of the only guys that really wanted to be here long-term, through the losing, through everything. Two-time All-Star, was a guy that a lot of us agreed could really help these young guys develop, you know, having that offensive pillar to kind of take some of the pressure off of them. And then after everything, you turn around and you trade him out of absolutely nowhere.
Yeah.
Right. My thing is, Otto Porter Jr. getting paid a lot of money. I mean, he expires after this year. It's not a big deal. Not very good. Wendell Carter Jr., not very good. Are you sure that you're getting an All-Star eventually out of one of those two picks? Because that's what you just gave up. You better be damn sure that you're going to turn one of these guys into an All-Star, because you just gave this guy up. Not to mention, like, there's such a – everything in me wanted Nikola Vucevic to be an all-time, lifelong Magic player.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just, like, that hope, just the expectation that I had that it probably wasn't going to happen, but we were going to get, like, 11, 12 years out of him before he moved on. And then it was just, like, rip your heart out of nowhere. And I think that's where a lot of fans feel today, is that this is just out of nowhere, and people just feel gutted.
Yeah. I mean, it's been crazy, but you know, at the end of the day, man, at least now, but you know, before, you and I have speculated so many times, like, what is this front office? Like, what's their vision? We're trying to get into their head and they won't let us in, and we don't know what they want to do. Now we know. We know that they're going young. They trust their extensions for contracts like J.I. and Markel. And don't get me wrong, I trust that too. The Vucevic trade was crazy. There's just nothing in me that really can probably get around to saying it was worth it. But then, you know, you get into the next couple trades, and we can get into that and break that down, but it stinks to lose a two-time All-Star, you know, something that, like, you know, the Magic haven't had anything nice in a long time. And we didn't even know who Vucevic was when he came over in that Dwight Howard trade, and then he became one of our favorite players of all time. And you and I have proclaimed him
all
as
time.
You and I have proclaimed him to be, in our opinion, a top five to ever wear the pinstripes. And I'm comfortable saying that. And I'm still comfortable saying that, you know. And so it does suck. But at the end of the day, man, you get rid of Otto Porter. Wendell Carter Jr. comes in, who, to give you guys numbers in case you guys haven't looked it up, almost 11 points a game, almost 8 rebounds. 24 minutes, almost 25 a game, shoots 51% from the field, 36%, 0.5% from three on 0.8 attempts. So he doesn't really shoot very much, guessing he's just wide open when he does shoot. So
just,
yeah,
a 14 point drop off from our previous starting center.
Right. So, God. But also, and to reflect on that, now you know, a lot of people, including us, we're like, hey, Mo Bamba, let's develop him. Well, Mo Bamba has a much better shot of getting a starting role now that he can compete for it with guys like Wendell Carter and Kim Birch. Very surprised Kim Birch didn't get dealt today. I'm guessing they're holding on to him just in case Wendell Carter doesn't show anything this year and they want to bring him back next year. I don't know. But, I mean, because at the end of the day, Kim Birch is not a hard contract to trade, right?
No.
So if you wanted to get rid of him, you could have just thrown him in there, and nobody would have really batted an eye at all. So it tells me that he's kind of an insurance thing. If Mo doesn't work out and if Wendell doesn't work out. So, you know, young guy, and who knows? I mean, a situation can change everything about a player's career and about what they do and their output and stuff. And, you know, that'll kind of come down the line when we later talk about Gary. Gary, jeez, I'm getting the two Garys mixed up right now. Not Gary Clark, but the one from Denver. But you know, we'll get to that later. Gary Harris, sorry. So I can't hear you right now. No. Looks like my mic's moving. I don't know. It's like we might have just lost Jonathan there for a second. While he tries to figure that out, what I was saying was, with Gary Harris, man, you know, we'll get to him later, but he's another guy that change of scenery might help him out. A few years ago, he was averaging, what, 16, 17 a game. So, who knows?
I'm back.
Yep, you're back. You're a little hot, though. You're going to turn yourself down a little bit if you can.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
All right. Sorry about that. Yeah, something's going on with my mic here. Yeah, so just to kind of jump back in here. So I want to talk about the Evan deal, because what happened with Evan was, as soon as teams knew that we were moving on, let me, can they still hear me? No, they can't hear me at all.
I can't hear you now. You just dropped out when you said they can't hear you.
Hear me now?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. My mic is all over the place. That's awesome. Glad this is happening right now. All right, you guys should be able to hear me again now. So, but what happened with, you know, Evan is once Vooch was moved and teams kind of knew that it was going to be a fire sale, we lost all leverage with Evan. So if you were trying to get a good deal for him and trying to, people still can't hear me, they're saying.
No, they're saying they can. You're good.
Yeah. Okay.
Keep going. You're good.
Yeah. People on Twitter are saying, okay, I'm back now. Okay. But yeah. So once they knew that we were moving on from Vooch and it was going to be a fire sale, you lose all leverage with Evan, because if you don't move him, you're going to get nothing for him. So you get the two second round picks from the Celtics. But really the big thing from that, Luke, is that we absorbed some of that trade exception from them. You got Jeff Teague, you end up waiving Jeff Teague. They're just trying to open a roster spot for Evan. But the thing that a lot of people are saying now, because you have, you know, Otto Porter Jr., who's going to be coming off of the books, you're going to have this trade exception. If you look at what like a team like Oklahoma City did and Atlanta did a few years ago, was you have all this cap space and you start calling teams and say, hey, we're going to take on those bad contracts. You guys are going to send us draft picks. So opens up a ton of cap space to be able to do that, if that's what you're looking to do. But again, once Vooch was gone, you have no leverage with Evan. So you basically just trade him for anything that you could get.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, if you kind of talking about that, man, like we talked about it before in the past weeks, but now it's actually coming to fruition. And now people are freaking out about, oh, we only got, you know, second round picks. And Jeff Teague came in late and we're going to waive him anyway. But the whole thing with Evan is he's done anyway. We don't know what the conversations were like behind the scenes. Magic front office, what it probably came down to in this pure speculation, is Magic front office probably sat down, looked at the numbers and said, Fournier is going to want more than what he's making right now. And we're not going to want to bring him back on paying that much. So we're not going to just let him walk without getting anything for him. And in a year where, by the way, keeping Evan this year does win you a few more games than not keeping him, they're just saying we're embracing the tank. And, you know, I'm sure the tanking crowd is ecstatic, but I hope that it hurt them a lot when Vucevic got traded this morning, regardless. Because I'm sure it did, just like everybody else. So yeah, when it comes to the Evan deal, man, stinks that you only get 2 seconds for him and a guy you're going to waive. But at the end of the day, that's the hand you're dealt. That's what the front office thought was best. And the front office is there because they're smarter than us and they've got a vision and hopefully it pans out for them. And then the Aaron Gordon deal, man, was pretty exciting when you look at it. At first I thought it was, you know, not going to include RJ Hampton. And then it came through and said, RJ Hampton is included. That's a young guy that could be something. I also think Gary Harris could still be a good veteran on the team. I really did. The Denver trade was my favorite trade of the day.
Well, yeah. So it's Aaron Gordon and Gary Clark was moved as well for Gary Harris, RJ Hampton, and then a 2025 first round pick. So you're not going to see that for 4 years. So that is top five protected, which conveys to 2026 and then 2027, but with the same protections. So 2025, Denver probably have a pretty good chance that they're still going to be good with Jamal Murray, with Nikola Jokic. As long as they keep those guys, we should be doing okay. But they would have to end up in the top five, three straight years for the Magic not to get that pick. But so you're looking at potentially not getting that pick for, you know, 4 to 6 years from now, depending on how it all plays out with the Nuggets. So, I mean, yeah, you got a first round pick. You're not going to see it for a long time, but at the same time, you're not going to want 57 rookies, you know, on the team at the same time, where you look at Oklahoma City and like over the next 7 years, they have something like 34 picks.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, at some point, you know, it's going to be a little bit of an issue, you know, to use all of that draft capital. So Terrence, you know, if you guys were watching Terrence's live a little bit earlier, he mentioned he's the last player standing from the Hennigan era.
Mm-hmm.
So forever, you know, when we start to talk about these guys being moved today, like that's the Hennigan core three right there. Vucevic, Fournier, and Aaron Gordon. This day literally is going to live on in Orlando Magic history forever, because it's just so many people have been begging for the tank, right? For years now, like, move on from these guys. We're not going to win with these guys, blah, blah, blah. A lot of them feel very vindicated today. Really excited about the future, which you do have reasons to be excited about the future. Don't get me wrong. It's not all doom and gloom, but it just hurts like hell the way that it happened when none of us were really expecting it. But people, they asked them to blow it up, and they're like, oh, you want us to blow it up? Well, here you go. It's a wrap.
Right.
This is all over. And we've been saying for weeks now, we have no idea what this front office really wants to do. We are so terrified that they were just going to buy into mediocrity and try to sell out and make the team better and try to make the playoffs, even though we're missing all these guys and so many guys were out. And they were like, oh, no, you don't understand. We're really about to do this. So other people have been saying that, you know, we're kind of waiting for this front office to make their move and to really put their, you know, fingerprint on this team. And now they're going to have every opportunity to do that moving forward. So, I mean, Terrence made a good point today. He doesn't know who's going to be playing tomorrow. He doesn't sound like he's going to be ready to play. He said, I'm still questionable. I'm not going to be ready to go for tomorrow. And then I think Otto Porter Jr. isn't going to be available. RJ Hampton, I'm not real sure. Cole's not ready to be back yet. You've got Chase and Randall. You've got James Ennis, Chuma Okeke, Mo Bamba. Like,
that's a lot of L's.
Friday's game is going to be bad. And everybody needs to understand this. This is going to be, this stretch we're about to see is going to be the worst, possibly the worst Magic team we have ever put on a basketball court.
Yeah.
And that's going back to, you know, 2013, 2014, mm-hmm. when we're winning, you know, 20-ish games a year. This is going to be really terrible. Michael Carter Williams is going to be in there as well. I mean, good.
Well, so
it's going to be really bad.
To transition, hopefully, to what you would think is the silver lining in this situation.
One more thing. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Before, when we were like, oh, you know, we're hoping for Jalen Green or whatever, which Jalen Green is going to be a really good player. I was hoping to pair him with everything else that we had going on. You better get Cade Cunningham now.
Right.
Like, you did this. You better make damn sure we are getting Cade Cunningham. Yeah. Or if it's not Cade, you better be making sure the guy that you end up with is the best guy in this draft. This pick needs to be a home run.
Yeah. I agree.
No excuses.
No, I mean, there's none. And you know, you get guys like Gary Harris and, you know, the other injuries that the Magic have got already. Like we said, this product is going to suck. This product is not going to be fun to watch. And it is full tank mode. And guess what? The front office just revealed their cards. They are also pro tankers for this remainder of this season. I did want to read. So at the Hoop Central on Twitter, tweeted out kind of this thing about the Magic today, and it did get me a little excited. It just says Jonathan Isaac, Markelle Fultz, Wendell Carter Jr., Cole Anthony, RJ Hampton, Mo Bamba, Chuma Okeke, multiple first round and second round picks, youth movement in Orlando, eyes emoji and fire emoji. I liked that. I liked seeing that. I liked seeing it all just kind of out there in terms of what the Magic are dealing with. Terrence Ross is now the oldest guy on this team who is going to have no choice but to be, you know, the veteran presence in this room, in the locker room, and you know, behind him is going, the second longest tenured player in the league is Otto Porter, I believe, who will be gone probably in this offseason unless he just goes berserk and the front office falls in love with him. They do have some more money to play around with. Who knows how that works out, right? I did see that the Magic will have roughly $17 million to play around with in the offseason, so we'll see what they do with that. The second longest tenured Magic player is Jonathan Isaac.
Bless his soul.
Jonathan Isaac.
Everybody out there, I don't care if you don't believe in God. Luke and I do. You better start praying for some ACLs around here.
Mm-hmm. We need
straight him. Up.
We need him. We need him to. We need him to stay healthy on those extensions. And yeah, I mean that's just. This is what we. You know, I tweeted out something yesterday, Jonathan. I said, you guys need to, not, you know, especially the tankers. Don't worry about this win. It is going to be you know, a win that it means something to the organization or to the fan base, that Evan had the go-ahead bucket with 6 seconds to go. And, you know, that was his last game in a Magic uniform. So what I said was, like, control what you can control. And by the way, here's a hint. You can't control any of this. So just ride it out. That's all we're doing. That's the part of being fans. That's the great part and the frustrating part. Great part is you don't have to make any of those decisions the front office does. The bad part is you don't have any of those decisions to make. It's not in your control. So this is just part of being a fan, man. And, you know, those guys, those three guys, that the main guys that got dealt today, we're thankful for those guys, that they kind of provided some silver lining throughout, you know, the last decade of Magic basketball. But it's time to look towards the youth, man. Jonathan Isaac, Markelle Fultz, Cole Anthony, RJ Hampton can get there. Wendell Carter, we don't know, he could get there. So yeah, it's all up in the air, and it's going to be interesting to see how it pans out. For the rest of this year, though, guys, we're going to suck.
It's going to be really, really bad. And the thing is, like, I mean, you won't find anybody that believes in Jonathan Isaac more than I do, but just in an instant, the weight of this franchise is fully on the shoulders of Markelle and Jonathan Isaac. Those are the two guys right now that we know have the best chance to be, you know, all-star caliber players. Those are our two best players right now. And, you know, they're both recovering from ACLs. So this franchise is putting a lot of faith in those guys. And I definitely think both of those guys are up to the challenge. But if we didn't need those guys to work out before, we need that more than anything now. Like, if both of those guys do not work out, we are looking at, you know, 7-8 years probably of being really bad rather than maybe a year or two. And then kind of, you know, by that time, we hopefully should be getting somewhere. But another thing for me, and I don't know if a lot of you guys out there feel this way, but like, we have
your mic just cut out. Yeah. So Jonathan's mic just cut out. We have Adam Papagiorgio coming in right now, actually. So we'll see. We'll get Adam here going in a second. What's up, Adam?
Hey, what's up, guys? Can you hear me?
Yep. Yeah, we got you. Jonathan's mic's having some problems, man. So we're trying.
No, I was watching you guys from the live stream. It's all right. A lot's been going right today, right? So might as well have the mic.
Yeah. So actually right now, Evan Fournier is in our broadcast on Twitter. So Jonathan, I just was told that Fournier is in our Twitter broadcast.
Evan, bro, the jersey's right there. Thank you for everything, man. It sucks that this is how it went down, But forever grateful for you. You represented the franchise as good as anybody could possibly ask. And you, Aaron Vooch, will be greatly, greatly missed, man. Go win a ring in Boston. Do whatever you got to do. Forever a legend in Orlando.
Yeah, man. And I loved the he just gave us a heart. So but yeah, man. So Evan, thank you. I laughed.
I better be Evan. I hope nobody's throwing us.
No, it is. I went and looked. I double checked. But thanks guys for pointing that out as well. But Evan's tweet made me laugh today when he was telling Boston fans to go Google search his last name, just setting them up for very much failure. All the Magic fans laughed knowing what he meant by that. So we appreciate that and the inside jokes that, you know, Evan was able to create with this organization and fan base. But man, Adam, thank you for joining us. Sorry that kind of all happened at one time. You coming in here, his mic going out, Evan being in here. So
life lesson and what professional lesson, always pick the NBA player over a guest. Let's just do that. It's kind of funny because, and you'll know who know you. With Evan, it's not don't Google. It's never Google. Real ones never know. Google. It's always been never Google.
That's right.
I think Richard Jefferson on the jump actually was looking on his phone and actually Googled That's it terrible. During the broadcast, which he quickly regretted. So
I made the mistake one time. Who would have thought trading Aaron Aflalo, we get this French kid. We're like, man, who the heck is this kid? Mm. And you just run down the list of top 10 accomplishments, you know, the stats in Magic history. And it's just, it's crazy that after everything, and this is what I was trying to say, I'm sorry to cut everybody off here, but it was 9 years, you know, seven of them really of just being so terrible. And then a lot of people didn't like the mediocrity, but like we got a taste of the playoffs of having a successful team. And it was like next year, everybody gets back. We should be right there again. And now it's just gone. Mm. Just in one day. It just really, really sucks. But
yeah, as a person who was lucky to, you know, those few years where I was doing my blogging and able to, you know, be credentialed in the locker room, I always appreciated Evan's honesty, even if it was very blunt at times. That's the Europeanness of it, where there's not much fake stuff that comes out of Evan's mouth. So I always appreciate that. But no, I wish him luck in Boston. I really do. He's going there for basically pennies on the dollar, basically. I mean, the Magic aren't getting much for him back, but I'm always curious now from a NBA and kind of family perspective, how that move's going to go for, you know, specifically him and Vooch, because you got about, 2 months of the regular season left, then the playoffs potentially, assuming stuff goes well. Like, are they just going up by themselves to their, you know, to Boston and Chicago for a couple months? Are they bringing families? Like, how's that going to work? Because, I mean, you know, your average fan doesn't really think of that. It's like, hey, you know, we're losing this player, that player, we're getting this player back and whatnot. But I mean, look, just because these guys are millionaires doesn't mean that it's not a, you know, an abrupt move for him. And, you know, in Evan's case, he was here for 7 years. I mean, the man was 21 years old when he was here, basically, the first time.
It definitely felt like, and I think he alluded to this last night, but saying like, I became a man, basically. Like, I grew up here in terms of he got married there. His dog, he got here as well in Orlando. So just crazy stuff that it's kind of, you know, it's all coming to an end. But, you know, Adam, you kind of touched on the fact that, you know, these are real people at the end of the day, right? These are real people who aren't just a piece in the game. And, you know, you get told it's a business, but you've seen players react today. You saw Magic players reacting to all this, saying they're going to miss these guys.
Terrence Ross was freaking out live on YouTube, you know. It's
right, exactly. So, and you had, you know, guys from Denver talking about, you know, Gary Harris and RJ Hampton and those guys, tweeting, you know, crying emojis or whatever it was today. Jamal Murray tweeted something about it. It always makes me think about JJ Redick, actually. You know, he tells the story of when he got traded from Orlando, how he didn't know he thought he was safe. And then his agent calls him, I believe, and communicates to him that he's been traded
while he's on the bus about to get on the plane.
Right.
Yeah. He got pulled off at the last second. I mean, it's quick. It happens like that. And you think you're safe and then boom.
And I mean, and then this is probably how it's going to go for Magic players that got traded today. But JJ said, like, for the first few years after he got traded, he always like would go buy his apartment where he lived in Orlando and just kind of reminisce a little bit. So pretty crazy, you know, to the extent of when you really step back and you're like, wow, these guys actually are moving on a moment's notice. They don't really have time to pack. They just have to probably hire movers and get going and just get an apartment for temporarily and then decide if they want to stay there and if they want to get a home. And there's a lot involved with this stuff, but Adam, kind of enough of the, I guess the sentimental and bringing people back down to earth, but yeah,
I just wanted to add, the my favorite part of that story, cause I think JJ told that story. It might've been on the Vertical a few years ago on that podcast, but he said he wanted to get on the plane to say goodbye to everybody. And they told him he wasn't allowed on the plane. And he's like, no, I've spent 7 years of my life with these people. I'm getting on that plane and saying goodbye.
Right.
So that just tells you, like, when you're in a city this long, just like, we feel terrible. Think how they feel.
Mm. Yeah.
That kind of exposed a Hennigan era flaw too with that story, but yeah, I digress.
You know, had Hennigan done his job right, we might not be here today. All right. But Adam, just walk us through like your emotions, finding out, you know, the Vooch. You've, I think I said before you came on the show, you know, you kind of articulated it as good as anybody could. You know, your post about Vooch was awesome.
I appreciate it. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it just probably goes to show why we haven't heard from Vooch yet, because he's probably still processing this. And I mean, he's probably quickly packing and trying to get on a plane to his new team. But I mean, look, I'm not going to hide it. Vooch is my favorite Magic player of the past decade. I mean, I'm not going to hide it. Even while I was covering the team, you know, I didn't make it for the Dwight Mayer, you know, I showed up literally months after Dwight Howard left, and here's this guy, Nikola Vucevic. Nobody really knows who he is. You know, Vooch would, you know, played a few games in Philly and it's his second season, but nobody knew then that he would be the sole reason why the Magic won the Dwight trade at the end of the day, when you look back on it. But I mean, Vooch is my guy, and you know, he's super professional, both in the locker room, out the locker room, on the court, out in the community. I mean, he's just a good guy in general. And I mean, when the Magic brought in Bismack Biyombo and Serge Ibaka, we all thought the writing was on the wall that Vooch was either going to get moved out or he'd get played out. And you know, he's persevered through stuff like that for almost a decade now. So, and we all celebrated him being picked a two-time All-Star, you know, and because we've seen guys like, you know, Jamal McGlure kind of fluke their way into being a one-time All-Star. But if you're a two-time All-Star, you're a legitimate guy, you're a legitimate star. And I was shocked. I did not expect him to get traded today. I did not.
Adam, I don't want to cut you off. 50 seconds ago, Vooch just posted to Twitter, I want to read this. I'm going to try to do this without crying, everybody. This was very hard for me to write. I'm not sure where to begin, but to the city that has taken me as a boy and turned me into a man, I want to say thank you, all caps. Orlando has a very special place in my heart and always will. I have met many great people here and have built very special relationships, and that's what I will miss the most. To all my teammates and coaches that I have had during my time with the Magic, thank you for helping me become the player that I am today. To the DeVos family and the entire Magic organization, thank you for taking care of me and my family and helping me achieve my dreams. To the Orlando Magic fans, thank you for always supporting me. You have shown me nothing but love, and I will always love you for that. The time has now come for a new chapter in my life. I'm looking forward to joining the Chicago Bulls and being a part of this great and special organization. Go Bulls, Nikola Vucevic, I want to vomit. He didn't say that. I said that.
Oh, man.
Class act to the end. Unreal.
I mean, it's in white font on a black background, so it's basically almost like a funeral post. But
that's what this feels like. This is what it feels like.
It's the end of an era. It's a start of a new one. And look, maybe one day in the future we'll maybe see him again in a Magic jersey. For how long, I don't know. But I mean, he's a lock for the Magic Hall of Fame. I agree with what you guys said earlier. I mean, he's top five Magic player all time. He's fifth. He's firmly fifth in my book. You know, I still got my Mount Rushmore where there's some variation of, you know, Shaq, Dwight, Penny, and T-Mac. But mean, Basketball Reference, you go on, they ranked franchise's best players. I think Vooch is ranked third just based off of, you know, 10-year statistics and all that. And I mean, Vooch still has quite a – is leaving with quite a few Magic records all time. You know, he's not going to get, you know, most games played and most points scored all time, but he's still got his fingerprints on some records. And look, I mean, the Magic are clearly not going to be in the playoff hunt. So, you know, you might as well kind of keep an eye on these guys. And look, I'm personally going to be rooting for Vooch because he deserves to be on a title winning team. Unfortunately, that's not going to happen here. I'm going to be fascinated to see when these trades are finalized and when, you know, Weltman, and I mean, maybe Hammond will speak, but I mean, it's Jeff Weltman who's at the front of all this, you know, what the explanation is and what they see with some of these moves that they made. Because I disagree with at least two of the three moves made today.
We've got Philip Rossman Reich joining us, ladies and gentlemen. We're bringing the whole squad in tonight.
Oh, man.
One last time. Relax, have a drink with me. That's where we're at tonight, Phil. Thank you for joining us. How are you doing?
That's a good place to be. I mean, that's such a good song, and it's sad. It's all sad. And Vooch just posted his goodbye, and now I've got all the feels again. And it is what it is, man.
Did you think that when you were singing that lovely rendition last night on Twitter that was also revolving around Nikola Vucevic, who was going to be traded? Was that on your radar at all?
I mean, it was always a possibility, but I didn't think the Magic were going to make the deal just because, like, this front office has been all about trying to compete and trying to just be in the conversation for the playoffs. They resisted the calls from, you know, that were legitimate calls, because I think we all sensed that this team had a little bit of a ceiling to hit the reset button and really blow it up. And trading a player of Nikola Vucevic's caliber is starting over. And so for me to move Nikola Vucevic with, you know, where the team was at next, where the team's going to be at next year with Isaac coming back from the ACL injury and Fultz eventually coming back from the ACL injury and a rookie, you don't want to be relying too much on that kind of uncertainty unless you're trying to be bad again, to be frank. And so I felt like keeping Vucevic around was the right call unless you're getting someone that just clearly sets you up better for the future, whether it's a star or someone on track to become a star that isn't quite there yet or is on track but may not actually get there. Just, you know, someone that you take a little bit of a chance on. Wendell Carter's not that. I was shocked, A, that it was the first thing that came across today. Like, it was early, like 10:30, 11 a.m. that came out. So it just took us all, I think it took us all by surprise.
Yeah, that to say the least, it took us by surprise. Again, I share with these guys, went to bed last night really expecting Evan and Aaron to be moved today. And then for Vooch to be the first move was just like just a stab right in the gut. And as my cat is climbing into the frame here, but yeah, so I think we can all agree the next few months and potentially, you know, the next, I don't know, 1 to 2 years are probably going to be pretty rough.
Unless Cade Cunningham is the truth. I mean, if Cade Cunningham is that dude and the Magic win the lottery, or, you know, any of those guys at the top of the draft are that dude. It's going to be rough here for a while. I mean, The way I thought of things was, you know, I had a better sense of what the Magic were trying to do and what the Magic were building yesterday than I do today. Today it just feels very uncertain what this team is trying to be. And the draft pick obviously is going to be the first big piece of that puzzle. I think the way I would describe it is right now we're trying to put a puzzle together. And we don't have the box, you know, we don't have the box with the picture on it. We don't know what this looks like. And frankly, I mean, I'm sure the front office kind of feels that way too, to some extent, because there's a big piece missing right now to really start this thing and really give it direction. And that's this draft pick coming up now. And, you know, y'all know I am not for tanking. I don't believe in it. I don't believe in counting on the lottery. But that's where we're at right now, is this draft pick is the game.
Yeah, and that's what you said, like, yesterday. You thought you had a good grasp on it, and now it just feels like, you know, because you thought Vooch was going to stay in the picture. And essentially it was going to be Vooch as the veteran presence and the young guys as the core moving forward. And then when it's time for Vooch to retire or whatever it may have been, or he was at the end of his run and the Magic didn't want to resign, then these young guys would be prepared to take over. There was one thing, Phil, that you said, and Adam, I do want to get your thoughts on kind of the trades and the details as a whole too, here in a second. But yeah, it's hard in the moment because you see Vucevic get traded, AG, Fournier, you move on essentially from the Hennigan era minus T. Ross. It's really hard to think about this and think, yes, they made all those trades, but yes, and without all those trades though, the Magic weren't going to be as bad as they are going to be the rest of the year, thus putting them in a better position to get a guy like Cade Cunningham. Could he be the truth? Yes. Could he not be? Absolutely. But at the end, but today, like, it's so hard to look at the draft and think that far ahead as a Magic fan, just because of, you know, the cornerstones of our franchise that were traded today. It's hard to think that far. But it is easy to get excited about the future too when you do think about the guys like J.I., Markel, a potential Cade Cunningham, who knows, you know, Jonathan Kuminga. I'm expecting they take whoever is best available, as they should. And then, you know, guys like, you don't know what they're going to turn into. Like R.J. Hampton, he's a rookie. You have no idea what he's going to become. Wendell Carter, this could be a change of scene for him. Gary Harris could get a boost from a change of scenery. You have no idea what these trades are going to bring and what the future could look like for this franchise. This could be, we could look back on this day and say, yeah, in the moment that sucked, but look where we are now. And that's, you know, the Magic 2-3 years down the road, me saying that from that perspective. So that's just kind of the gist of it. Like I said, Adam, I wanted to kind of get your take on just a synopsis of what you think of these trades that happened today. And you can go through them pretty quickly because we've already talked in depth about who's coming back. So everybody's familiar and what the Magic are getting back and what they gave to get them. So Adam, if you would just kind of take us through that. And if you think the Magic quote unquote won the trade.
Well, I've had a lot of people go against me on Twitter today, but I stick to my guns.
Haven't we all, Adam? The best. Haven't we all?
And that's
you're
okay.
You're not doing Twitter right if people aren't going after you.
Yes. Phil knows that all too well.
Well, I feel bad for Phil and the rest of the media folks and Magic ticket staffers and all that. Now they got to deal with rebuilding because, I mean, Phil, you've been through it a lot more than me now, obviously. And I mean, you've been through the good times and you've been through a lot of bad times. So I'm just going to tell you, hang in there, buddy. That's all I'm going to tell you. But yeah, look, I think of the three trades, the best one I personally think was the Aaron Gordon trade, even though if you look at national media, they all think that Aaron Gordon was the worst Magic trade that was done today, which is interesting in my mind. But I mean, I had a variation where, you know, you could do like Fournier and Ennis for that exact Gary Harris, RJ Hampton return. But I mean, like Aaron Gordon, he fits perfectly in about 7 or 8 teams, honestly. I mean, he could have been perfect in Boston, in Dallas, in Portland, Golden State, either of the LA teams, you know, and he ends up in Denver, which is going to be a really good spot, I think, for him. But, you know, Aaron's only got a little more than another year left on his contract, right? So you kind of got to factor that in. And Denver's going to have to make a decision in the offseason, you know, depending on how AG plays, you know, these last few months of the regular season and the postseason. But, you know, I think I value RJ Hampton highly. Some people don't, but I value RJ Hampton very highly. I would have actually liked the Magic to have drafted him. So now that you have seen what Cole Anthony can do, and there's some promise there with Cole, and hopefully we get to see him back next month. You know, it just depends on how that rib heals up. But I like RJ Hampton. Gary Harris, he's a very good defender. A couple years ago was a very good shooter. Don't know why he lost his shot. That could have been a combination of injuries and maybe just the loss of confidence, but he's had clutch moments for that franchise and he's making a decent, you know, good chunk of money. And so he'll be in the final year of his contract next year as well. So I'm intrigued to see what Gary Harris can bring. RJ Hampton, maybe he's going to be a backcourt starting partner with Cade Cunningham and Markelle Fultz. Who knows? We're going to see. But I think that's my favorite trade. Fournier is is surprising because we don't know what those 2 second round picks are. And yeah, I know they're getting, I guess, Jeff Teague back too. So I don't know how that works. I'm assuming it's separate transactions with Boston, because when you do with a trade exception, you can't send a player back. So I'd be curious to see how that looks when it's finalized, but it could be very heavily protected second round picks. And we're even more mad than what we are right now. With the Fournier deal, but we basically gave a 19-20 point per game scorer to Boston for free, in my mind, because we know that this front office of Weltham don't value second round picks. It seems like every year we end up selling a pick to the Lakers for like $3 million. But and obviously the big one out of the gate was Vooch, and Wendell Carter Jr. is young. He's 21. He turns 22 years old in a couple of weeks. And he was kind of one of those blue chip guys when he ended up at Duke. And when he got drafted, injuries hurt him. He got named to the Rising Star team this year. So he's starting to kind of find his way, but I don't think it's enough for Vooch when you have those protections on those first round picks, when you're not getting, you know, Wendell Carter Jr. might become something, but then can you play Mo Bamba and Wendell Carter Jr. together? I don't know. There's a lot of stuff in the air there. So I don't know, Phil, if you want to bring in your opinion, if any of you guys want to bring your opinion, I'm kind of rambling a little bit, so I don't want to do that too long.
Let me, since I'm usually pretty good about this on Twitter, let me play some devil's advocate here.
Do it.
You know, I saw, what was it? One of the national outlets just kind of said, you know, the Magic just gave away all their players for nothing. And I don't think that's true. You know, they definitely had a fire sale, and when you have a fire sale, you're not getting equal value back. And so like, there's this narrative going around that the Magic rated this team that's just kind of restarting. And I'm not going to dispute that. They kind of did. But the devil's advocate in me, would say, well, the Magic also took advantage of a couple teams that were desperate and got sort of took some risks. I'm not going to say these are going to work out. I'm not here saying that these are good deals or that these are the right deals. I'm just kind of playing devil's advocate a little bit to justify things. And you can tell me if it makes sense or if it's a terrible argument or whatnot. I'm not going to be upset one way or the other. What I think the Magic did was they took advantage of teams that were a little bit desperate for things. You know, the Chicago Bulls haven't been in the playoffs in what, 5-6 years, something like that. They pushed all in here. And yeah, they're getting an all-star Nikola Vucevic. And if you're giving away an all-star, you're never winning the deal. The Magic lost this deal unless Nikola Vucevic just completely flames out in that system. And just something special about the water in Orlando made Nikola Vucevic very good. I'm not betting on that. He's a very good player. And so Orlando then got a rookie in Wendell, or a young player, a player on a rookie contract in Wendell Carter Jr., who is, you know, who's shown flashes of what he can be, is a really good defender. And I would argue, you know, if his defense is as good as they say, and I've talked to my colleague at Locked On Bulls about it earlier today, about his defense. And he says, you know, yes, he struggles defending the post. He doesn't quite have the strength and the size. He's a bit undersized as a five, but you can kind of use him as a switching defensive player. So, you know, I think what's going to be interesting to watch now is we've watched Nikola Vucevic, who is a drop center. He is not getting up on perimeter guys. Wendell Carter Jr. gives the team a little bit of versatility there. So you take you're trying to reclaim a guy who hasn't worked out with the team that drafted him, and you're kind of giving him it's almost like a second draft guy. We know he has a talent, and now it's just about finding a way to unlock that talent and make the most of it. You're getting 2 first-round picks in that deal too. The Denver deal is a little bit more straightforward, but you know, the point I've been making throughout the course of the day is the big salary in these deals is not the salary that matters. No one cares. You know, Otto Porter, I think if he plays for the Magic, he'll probably start. He'll probably be the leading scorer for the rest of the season. That doesn't matter. Who cares? If the Magic bring him back, it'll be for 1 year and half of what he's being paid right now. If they're bringing him back, it's simply to keep some continuity, and because they need a veteran, which they don't have right now, which is a big concern of mine, actually. But what the Magic got in that deal was a chance at Wendell Carter Jr. and 2 first-round draft picks. The Denver deal is very much the same thing, except, you know, even like Gary Harris is a bit of a risk, but if he pans out, he's shown that he can score 17 points per game as a lead scorer. He's shown that he can be a good shooter. He's had the injury issues. And so if it doesn't work out, it's 1 year. Who cares? The real prize in that deal is RJ Hampton and the 2025 first round pick that they're getting from the Nuggets. Yes, that pick is way far out there, but who knows what the Nuggets are going to be? Are they going to still be title contenders 4 years from now? Probably. What if they're not? You know, again, I'm playing devil's advocate here. But RJ Hampton is a guy that can play one, two, or three, you know, in theory, if he develops correctly. And so the Magic, I think what they're doing here, they grabbed guys that do fit their kind of philosophy a little bit, you know, with their versatility and their, you know, kind of lack of positional play. And, you know, they also bet on their player development, which again, you can say, well, hold on a second. The Magic haven't developed very many guys. Mo Bamba's kind of floundered around a little bit. You know, we haven't really seen what Jonathan Isaac can be because he's been hurt constantly. You know, maybe Nikola Vucevic is a proof of their strong player development. I don't know. You know, that's kind of what the Magic are betting on here. And then kind of on the Evan Fournier deal, again, those 2 second round picks don't matter. You know, their second round, I mean, second round picks are like throwing a dart against the board. I agree the Magic need to do better about making the most of those second round picks. They have done a very poor job maximizing the asset and at least trying something with it. That the real prize in that deal is the $15, $16, $17 million trade exception they created. That could be a tool for them to add a player at some point, you know, because now they have a little bit of draft capital. You know, give Jeff Weltman credit on this. He has not traded any of his draft picks away. The Magic own all of their picks. And so there's the potential there to make something happen if the Magic so choose, or to be part of something else if they so choose. Again, I'm playing devil's advocate here. I don't know if I believe most of those arguments. I think you can make that argument and say like, okay, that makes sense, but it's a huge risk. It's a huge gamble giving up what you gave up. I mean, it's very realistic. You know, Wendell Carter Jr.'s got what, 2 years left on his deal, or a year left on his deal before he becomes a restricted free agent. He becomes a restricted free agent the same year as Mo Bamba. What are you doing with those two? Are you ready? Are you going to commit to those two beyond that? You know, certainly the Magic have some time to figure that out. But that's a huge gamble giving up a proven star player that, you know, at least makes you a little bit competitive. So, you know, again, a lot of questions about what the Magic did. To me, really what this was about was clearing cap, making their books look cleaner, getting younger, AKA getting worse. And preparing to, you know, do a longer term rebuild. So, you know, well, there's some talented guys in there. If they hit on one or two of them, great. There's no star in there. I don't think there's no kind of runaway prospect. This is really about just kind of clearing the slate a little bit.
Well, so go ahead, Jonathan, Luke. I'll ask something here real quick, but, and it pertains to Wendell Carter Jr. and Mo Bamba, right? These guys now are going to be in a constant comparison race. Wendell Carter Jr. was drafted, and correct me if I'm wrong, one pick after Mo Bamba.
Yeah.
Yeah. So one pick after Mo. Wendell Carter Jr., people would look at the box scores and the stats and rightfully say Wendell Carter Jr. is the better player as it stands. But right. And I see Adam kind of, you know, contemplating that in his own mind. Well, I don't know if that's true. It just could have been Chicago giving him more run and then Mo Bamba has gotten. And that's a fair argument as well. But it is interesting that these two are kind of not pitted against each other, but they are, right? Like, I don't think that you're going to play these two guys really at the same time a lot. So I think it'll be very interesting to see who comes back, if either of them come back in the couple of years when they're up for their qualifying offer, because they were drafted in the same draft, one pick apart from each other. Jonathan, do you have some thoughts about those two guys and what it could mean, and maybe who you think we see more of first?
Well, I mean, the guy that, you know, outside of Aaron Gordon, you know, in the, you know, the last week or so, when it's become apparent that he had requested a trade, a lot of people expected Kem Birch to get moved at the deadline, you know, to make way for Mo Bamba. And this is the exact opposite. Not only did you keep Kem, but you brought in more competition for Mo. So this might be kind of Mo insurance if they believe that, you know, Wendell Carter might turn out to be something. But I think Mo Bamba's future in Orlando now is more uncertain than ever. You know, now you have multiple guys that he's going to be competing with. Now, Kem Birch is going to be leaving. And while, well, maybe not leaving, but he's expiring at the end of this year. And I have the same concern as Phil, where 24 hours ago, I was really hoping that Ken Birch would be moved. At some point, you've got to have some kind of veteran presence in the locker room. Right now, we're looking at Kem. We're looking at Michael Carter Williams. We're looking at Otto Porter Jr. We're looking at Terrence Ross. And again, that was a big reason why so many of us thought that the Magic were going to hold on to Vucevic, was to kind of bring the young guys along. At some point, you've got to keep some veterans in the locker room to guide the young guys as they try to find their way in this new world in the NBA as they develop. We're going to have a lot of rookies, it seems like, over the next few years. So you're going to need somebody to bring them along.
And kind of adding to that, I'm sorry if I'm stepping on any toes here. I feel like the biggest thing now is, I know Jeff Weltman doesn't like the term culture. I know a lot of fans joke about the term culture, but there's a lot of institutional knowledge that's gone now. You know, not just from the fact of, you know, like having won a little bit and gone to the playoffs. It's just knowing how Steve Clifford operates and what Steve Clifford wants. You know, there's, you know, when they start training camp next year, they might as well be starting as a completely brand new team. You know, tomorrow at shoot around or whenever the new guys are cleared to join the team and start working with everyone, everything's going to be brand new for everyone. They're going to be starting from scratch. And so I feel like the biggest thing that's been lost is just, you know, as little as it is. And I agree, the Magic didn't accomplish very much, but the institutional knowledge of how to operate, how this team can be successful is completely gone. You know, those young guys, they're going to be on the same level as everyone else because they're starting completely over. You know, I imagine Steve Clifford will still be the coach next year, but you know, there's a chance that he isn't, and everyone just starts over fresh.
And not only that, you know, they had a way to play, and a lot of that revolved around Vucevic, who is now gone. So Clifford is going to be going into the lab for the rest of this year, probably, and heading into next year is how are we going to run the offense now that it's not going to be through Nikola Vucevic? And we all know Vuce was not on the floor. The offense, especially this season, came to a complete halt. So it's going to be interesting to see that. The question that I have is, you know, now that, you know, we have that trade exception for Evan Fournier, we have Otto Porter Jr. who is making somewhere north of $25 million this year. Yeah, $28 million this year. So we're going to have a little bit of cap space potentially heading into the offseason. Are the Magic going to be looking to use that draft, that salary cap space to bring in somebody else, perhaps? Some people are thinking that the Magic are going to use these picks, these assets, the cap space that we had to try to go and get the next guy, like the next Beal. Or are they going to go the route of like Oklahoma City or Atlanta did a few years ago, where you have all this cap space and you're like, you have bad contracts, bring them to us, give us your future first round picks, and we will take those bad contracts off your hands. So Adam, I'd like to hear your thoughts on that.
I mean, my initial thought is I wouldn't expect any major signings next season, or in the off season, you know, maybe some short one year deals. If they could somehow package this to get a guy like Beal, that'd be awesome. But I think they're in a weaker position to do that than they were 24 hours ago at the moment. I mean, people can disagree with me. I mean, you're right. With Vuce gone, Phil just doing a good job playing devil's advocate, but you know, arguably your best veteran was Nick Vucevic along with being your best player. And so, you know, this whole time for Nick's entire nine year tenure with the team, he ended up being the best player on the Magic, even though for most of that time, he probably didn't expect it, you know, to last that long. And so my thinking process going into these last few months of the season, going to the offseason, was the Magic had an opportunity to do a quick, you know, 3-month tank. And you can either decide to go, you know, if you get an awesome draft pick, you can decide to draft a guy like Cade. Or if it's still somewhere, you know, third, fourth, fifth, you know, or whatnot, you can package that. You could package a few guys. You can maybe think about packaging Jonathan Isaac. I don't know what it would take to get Bradley Beal, but you had options to where you can get that second, that actual first number one alpha scorer like a Bradley Beal to put next to a very, very good all-star in Vucevic. and go and win some games. But clearly that's not happening now. So for this offseason, I'm not expecting much. You know, hopefully whoever we sign, it ends up going a lot better than it did with, say, like an Al-Farouq Aminu, because, you know, Chief's gone now. He's gone in the Vooch deal. So that tenure went somehow, I think, even worse than Channing Frye's tenure with the Magic did with that mid-level exception signing. So the other thing we got to keep in mind, and it was mentioned, is does Steve Clifford stick around for the final year of his contract? Is he going to be up for, you know, is he going to want to even take an extension if that's offered to him? And then you have the front office that's also got 1 year left on their deals. Is the DeVos family, is Alex Barnes, are they happy with what's happened today?
You don't do today if that extension ain't in your pocket.
Yeah. Agreed.
We're going to find out, right?
I mean, if not, they should be carried out into the streets tonight. If they didn't have ownership's, you know, go ahead for that, then I think they'd be gone already.
But, why would you make the next guy's job easier?
Yeah.
I'm just saying it's, we'll see when and if those extensions get announced.
This is part of the problem. All of that might depend on whether a two pops up instead of a four. Like that's literally the fate of the franchise rests on the right four numbers popping up in that back room in Secaucus or on that encrypted Zoom call that they're going to have in June, July, or whenever the draft lottery is going to be. That's what all of this comes down to. If the Magic get a top four pick, life will be good. There'll be excitement. There'll be a clearer vision. There'll be a clearer direction of like, this is where we're going. If the Magic end up drafting sixth or seventh or if the Magic don't get the reward for this terrible season, everything looks a whole lot worse, including what happened today. And again, you play the odds? Sure. But this is my constant argument to the people who are so pro tanking. It's just like, you can't bet on this stuff. Cause if you crap out, then you're stuck. I see you all reacting when I say, well, what if the Magic end up seventh? What if they end up eighth? Mm-hmm. That's still possible. As bad as this season's been, it's still possible they end up there. And, maybe the odds are better that they'll end up third or fourth or whatever. I've run Tankathon a few times over the past couple of days. It's been a while since I've had the Magic outside the top four. I did run a Tankathon today that had the Magic picking third and the Bulls picking fourth, which just seemed very cruel, but
disaster.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't call that a disaster, but
that goes to the what I think as just idiotic, just pick protections, because now at this point, not only if you're a Magic fan, you know, you're hoping that the Bulls don't make the playoffs, but at the same time, you're hoping they don't get in the top four. And
there's a Goldilocks zone. You don't want them to be so good that they make the playoffs, but so bad that they get lucky.
But here's the thing, and people are really fighting with me on this, but the Bulls are only 2.5 games out of the sixth or fifth seed. Like they're right there. Like they're very close to that pick being in the 20s. So, you know, Phil, you say, you know, you talk about,
they won't be in the 20s if they're that high, will they? There's enough East teams to cushion that.
Well, let's think about it. Well, it depends how high. I really think that pick's.
Let me pull up Tankathon.
I really do. I really do think that Bulls pick by the end of the season is going to end up in the 20s.
I agree with you on that front. The Bulls getting Nikola Vucevic doesn't just make them they're a nice story playoff team. They're a playoff team. They're going to be in the playoffs. Whether that's the play-in tournament or the playoffs, they're going to be in that postseason. The Bulls went, like I said, the Bulls went all in to make the playoffs. And so that's where they are.
I mean, Chicago's three games back of Charlotte for fourth. That's it. I mean, I've been, you know,
and Charlotte we, I, and Charlotte, and just so everyone knows, Charlotte in fourth would pick 19th right now. So essentially picks 15 through 19 are all those bottom Eastern Conference teams fighting for the play-in tournament and for like the fifth or fourth seed in the East.
But I mean, even so, that's why it does help that you got some of these picks today, because if there is a nightmare ping pong ball situation where you end up picking like sixth in the draft, there is a chance that if you really want to move up a couple spots, you can do that. Now, that's going to suck because you're having to give up stuff just to move up a couple spots. But I mean, right now, this is a five-man draft at this point. And I mean, the Magic are honestly trying to be top, you know, getting that top three. I mean, I don't know, or top, I guess top four, because it's what? It's Cunningham, Mobley. You got a big
man. Mobley's back in, but Mobley's back in play.
Some people think Mobley might go first now, you know, and then
they're crazy. They're wrong.
Which again, I'm just telling you, it's that's out there. And then Green and Suggs, I guess those are your four. And then Kuminga, I guess, is fifth. So, yeah. But
yeah, well, I you know, Phil shared his tankathon, you know, roll the dice of what it was. I ran mine once today. All right. I ran it once and only once. And it was the most glamorous, best outcome the Magic could ever hope for. It was Magic pick number one, Bulls pick 10. So if we can get a first and a 10, I mean, you won't be able to reach me. Like I'm just going to be just running all over my apartment complex.
You got to save those, man. You can't be wasting them today.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's kind of sad that it's kind of, and you never want players getting hurt and you never want that thought in your head, but like, you know, there's like a portion of Magic fans that are like, all right, Zach LaVine, I need you to get hurt for like a month.
Oh,
like,
no, right. Question.
Like,
no
hey, question. Like, I don't want you to tear anything. Just like pick up like some plantar fasciitis or something. Like, I don't know. Like,
I have buddies that are Knicks fans who they have the Mavs pick this year, and they're always talking about, hey, Luka, if you want to tweak an ankle, you let us know, because that pick will improve. But yes, there are people out there that are like that. And it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a sprint to the finish here for both franchises. I'm excited to see.
Or in the Magic's case, a slow trudge.
Right. Yeah.
Hey, I bet you the Magic find a way to win in LA against the Lakers Sunday, because they don't have LeBron or AD. They're going to find a way.
Watch the Magic pull a post Gilbert Arenas trade where they don't practice for a week or for 2 weeks, and they just burn off nine straight randomly.
Hey, I mean, Portland is in a barn burner tonight against Miami. You know, they're coming to town tomorrow. I mean, the Magic, that's the one thing that I'm curious about. With, are they actually done getting rid of a few guys? Because I mean, obviously Terrence Ross, he's got another year on his contract. He's not going anywhere. I was surprised he wasn't dealt away to a contender. I'm really surprised.
I was surprised by that too. Once Vucevic went down, I was like, Ross is gone. Like, no reason to keep him.
And I'm pretty sure Terrence was basically begging to get traded with some of his GIF, his GIF posts or whatever.
The Anakin Skywalker one was a little.
I thought he was getting traded when he posted the Anakin one. Honest to God, I thought he did that thinking it was going to be a trade was in the books. But you have guys on their final year. You got Ennis, you got Birch. I think Michael Carter Williams has another year, but
he does.
I mean, I'm surprised that neither Ennis, who I think he's currently a better player than PJ Tucker on both ends of the court. But I mean, I'm surprised he didn't get dealt. Kem, I guess nobody wanted to throw a second round pick the Magic's way. That's why he's still on the team. But I guess it should see a situation where, because the Magic are struggling to have just eight guys available for tomorrow, after that, this Portland game tomorrow, maybe you see a buyout for like an Ennis or a Kem, or maybe, you know, this is a situation where, you know, the agents are like, hey, man, I need my guys to get minutes just so that they get a chance at a decent contract elsewhere next season.
Yeah. And I mean, that's why I was like surprised, because there are some people who are like, you know, Otto Porter is going to get bought out. And I'm just like, if I were Otto Porter's agent, I'd be saying, hey, go play for Orlando. They're going to start you. You're going to get every shot you want. Go put up some big numbers. You know, I don't know if this is a bold prediction or not. Otto Porter is going to lead the Magic in scoring the rest of the season. If he's healthy and he plays, he's going to lead the team in scoring the rest of the season.
I'm secretly hoping it's Chuma Okeke, assuming that Steve starts him tomorrow.
Well, my top shot is certainly hoping that it's Chuma Okeke, but we'll see. But fellas, let's start to wrap up here. We're just over an hour. I appreciate both of you joining us. Just try to give us your last take on just what the last 7 years with these guys has meant to you, and kind of what you're going to miss from each of these three guys. Phil, you go first.
Yeah. You know, I started covering the team. You know, I've obviously followed the team my entire life, but I started like covering the team as a member of the media, and during the Dwight Mary year. So really my first like real experience being day to day with an NBA team, was, was with the rebuild group and with Nikola Vucevic. So I've been around, you know, Vuce, Evan, AG. I've been around those guys for forever, and they've always, I mean, you can say whatever you want about them as players, and they're certainly flawed players, and they've been asked to do a lot that they probably shouldn't have been asked to do for a franchise. And this franchise has put them through a lot. But I always respected how, you know, professional they were with the media, just how good of people they were and how well they represented, you know, the franchise and the community. Whether it's fair or not, you know, these sports teams come to represent the city and come to represent our place here in Orlando. And, you know, I always thought that, you know, Vuce, Evan, AG always represented this city. They always represented the city as best they could. And they always left everything on the floor. You never, you know, really questioned their effort. You can question their ability, maybe, especially at the highest levels, but you never question their effort. And, you know, nothing made me happier than watching them make the playoffs finally and getting to celebrate that and seeing what this city is like for a playoff run. And nothing honestly makes me sadder that they didn't get to win a playoff game. And I could just feel the hurt from them that they were unable to do that. And honestly, I think it hurt them last year that they didn't get the chance to be on the Amway Center floor for games 3 and 4 against Milwaukee with a chance to win again in front of the fans. I think that these guys will forever be appreciated, should be forever appreciated by this fan base and by this community. And hopefully they'll hang around when they're done playing.
Absolutely. What about you, Adam?
Yeah. I mean, I was lucky to be in those locker rooms a lot between 2012 and 2017. So I saw all of them and got to talk with all of them. But I mean, it's a matter of just kind of what if with all of them, because each of these guys have a lot of ability, but they're always given responsibilities that were probably above their skill level. You know, Vuce should be a number two guy, not a number one. Aaron ended up having the ball more in his hands and he probably should have. Fournier was always trying to do too much, but they're all very skilled guys and you're going to see them do very well on these different teams that they're at. And it's just sad that it didn't work out here, you know, to echo what Phil said, these guys wanted to win a series for, you know, the community, for the team, for the franchise, for themselves. They wanted to win a playoff series in Magic jerseys. And it's just a shame we didn't get there, but I wish him all good luck, and I wish our franchise good luck.
Yeah. I mean, with those three guys, man, I, in high school as a senior, I was able to kind of get a pass to go hang out, you know, and do things with the media at Amway. And, you know, John Denton kind of took me under his wing, as some of you guys know, and I got to, you know, go in and ask questions to guys like Jacques Vaughn and those guys, but most of all, it was kind of the, you know, being a kid in high school as a senior, getting to be around guys like Evan and AG and Vuce and just NBA players in general was incredible and something that I'll never forget, but it was always how they talked to the media. I'll never forget going into the OKC locker room and how they just weren't that kind in terms of, you know, that's just kind of what they had built culturally. They didn't really care for the media. And then it was just polar opposites, man, going back over to those guys into that Magic locker room and getting to talk with them and get to joke around with them. And they're very much willing to do so. You know, and even in, I think it was 2016, it was, I believe I was 18 or 19 at the time. Had Evan Fournier on Snapchat and I had never Snapchatted Evan Fournier personally or anything. And just kind of jokingly sent him something about, hey, I'm about to play with you in 2K, going to try to drop 40 with you. And I updated him. I was like, hey, annoyingly, I updated him because he hadn't replied. And I finished the game. I was like, hey, I dropped 17 with you in the game. Sorry. And he replied with a snap that said, come on, dog. And it was him rolling his eyes. Since then, I've seen people use that as their profile picture on Twitter. And so Evan, really, that was kind of the first glance I got into Evan in terms of him being personable and loving the fans. We saw that tonight with Evan joining the Periscope on Twitter and telling us, thanks for the support. Really appreciate it. And then guys like AG and Vooch, man, just what else can you say about those guys, especially Vooch, just stand-up guy. AG gave us things that we'll never forget in those dunk contests, which he should have won both of them. I think we can all agree, especially the last one, should have won those. And so these guys all gave, and Vooch being an all-star twice, I mean, these guys all gave us something to cling to. Evan gave us game winners as well. So just they each contributed something. No matter where your patience level was with those three guys, by the time of today, I know that if you were a Magic fan and you are not a casual Magic fan, you were a little bit hurt by all three trades that happened today. And I think it'd be hard to deny that. So those three guys mean a lot to the franchise and a lot to the fans and a lot to me. So Jonathan, kind of leave it with you to wrap us up here.
Yeah, for me, it was just, you know, like Phil, following the team, like all of us really following the team my whole life. But, you know, as an adult, being actually able to go to the games, living so far away, I wasn't able to do that as a kid. But, you know, really that 2013 season, Victor Oladipo's rookie season, that was the first time that I was actually able to regularly go to games. So I just really gravitated towards this group, Vooch, and then, you know, the trade for Evan and drafting AG. And just, you know, the last 7 years, you know, have been so rough at times, right there with Phil, you know, clinching that win in Boston. I remember Steve Clifford speaking after the game and, you know, being asked to describe the locker room and him using the words unbridled joy. And that was exactly how I felt. Like, for 7 years, I lived, breathed, you know, cheered, screamed, cursed, lived and died with this team. And the biggest part of that team for the last 7 and 9 years is now gone. And that really hurts because we gave up on those guys. That's basically what it came down to. They weren't good enough to get us there. We gave up on those guys. But like you guys, I'll be following them for the rest of their careers. I'll be rooting for them. Can't wait to be back in the Amway next season. The Bulls don't return to Orlando this season, but next year when the Bulls come to town, definitely have to be there. I'm going to try to go to the Celtics game in a few weeks here when Evan comes back, and we don't play the Nuggets again this year. But today was rough, but I'm trying to stay confident with the front office and trust that they're going to make the correct moves going forward. Because at the end of the day, it's nice to have Vooch. It's nice to have Aaron and Evan, but we want a championship. We want the Larry O'Brien. That's what it's all about. And that's why the front office made the moves they did today, because we can all agree those guys weren't going to get us there. Unfortunately, they're humans. Some of the best, you know, guys that you possibly could ask to have on your team and to represent your team. Today sucks for them. Today sucks for us, but I wish those guys the best moving forward. So, but we're going to wrap up here. Phil, Adam, can't thank you guys enough for taking the time and joining us. Always a pleasure, guys.
Yep, thanks, guys.
Absolutely. Well, thank you guys so much for listening to this emergency broadcast episode of The Magic. We knew that we had to put this together really quickly and address everything that happened today. But for Adam, Phil, Luke, this has been Jonathan. You guys have been listening to The Six Man Show, and we will catch you guys next time. See ya.
Thanks for listening to The Six Man Show. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, and Stitcher to get new episodes downloaded directly to your phone. Please take a minute to give us a 5-star rating and a review. It would really help us out a lot. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram @SixManShow and like us on Facebook. We'll catch you guys next time. Go Magic!